السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. I hope you all slept well. Alhamdulillah. Till about 2 o'clock this morning, our brothers, the people of the book, were celebrating their greatest holiday. That they have traditionally been celebrating for a long time. The stress is on the word traditionally. And they had a mode of celebration which included singing and what else, and there was a lot of laughter and they were loud, signs of happiness. Nevertheless, it kept me up till 2 o'clock. So I thought that perhaps in our celebration we may also be doing things that others are inconvenienced with. You know, sometimes we do things without thinking how it affects the others, like your neighbors. And our deen, which teaches us the best of akhlaq, tells us about those things that we should be careful of. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that he is not one of us from whose harm the neighbor is not safe. And harm is in different ways. Inconveniencing something is a harm, someone. He said he doesn't have iman whose neighbor goes to sleep hungry and he goes to sleep with the stomach full. Among many other things, just to teach us the importance of always being thoughtful of others in what we do. So we should be careful. For example, when we go for Eid celebration, that the way we do things, we don't inconvenience others. That's part of our akhlaq. Then we should also think of what are we celebrating. You know, this is called the holiday season in the West. You know, we have Christmas, we have New Year. What should you celebrate? If you look at celebration, it means something you are very happy about. And you are celebrating that. So, two questions. What should you celebrate and how should you celebrate it? See, our deen did not come to change people's customs in general. Because our deen is universal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom and knowledge, He knew that this deen would spread all over. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون. That He has sent the messenger with the deen of truth so that it may prevail over all other adyan, all other systems of life. Whether they like, Ya Rahmatullah, whether they like it or not. So He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows this deen is going to go everywhere. And He meant it to go everywhere. So, a deen doesn't require that you change completely everything. You have to change your food. You have to eat like the Bedouins ate. You have to dress like them. You have to do everything. So our deen preserves, one of the Sharia rules is, it preserves the customs as long as we have to look at it through the filter of Islam. If there is some custom of the Jahiliyyah or of a nation where Islam comes which doesn't pass through the filter of Islam, then we eliminate it. But otherwise, you don't have to change. But it, on the other hand, it also means that you don't have to stick to every tradition that you had, even if it contradicts Islam. Okay? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also made a concerted effort to give us a distinct identity, that a Muslim should stand out different. People should recognize that he or she is a Muslim. He gave us a brand name. We are not generic human beings. You know, just like you have cars, and we are not like cars, but you know, each one proudly has an emblem. You know, you see a three stars is a Mercedes. When they go to India, they don't change that by writing it in Hindi. They don't change it into an Om. It stays Mercedes, because we are proud of who we are. And when you see this, it implies a certain quality, certain sifat. And that's what a Muslim should be, that they should have their own distinct identity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us two holidays, two things to celebrate. So what are we celebrating? If you look at it, one of our Eid, Eid al-Fitr, comes after Ramadan. What does that mean? What are we celebrating? The ta'a, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are celebrating that for a whole month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an order. And then He gave us the strength to fulfill that order. And we did the task we were asked to do. We fulfilled the job that was given to us. So we are happy. We celebrate. Celebrating an act of obedience. And then He gave us Eid al-Adha. Where does that come? After Hajj. Celebrating what? An act, the act of obedience. That we made the ultimate journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to do. That He enabled us, we were able to do it. We pass that, and we celebrate that. So we, our holidays come after, not attached to any person or anything, but to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's something to celebrate. On the Day of Judgment, who's going to be celebrating? The ones who obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their faces will be glowing. They'll have special honor of ta'a, of obedience. Those are the people who will celebrate. And then He taught us how to celebrate them. We celebrate them by, first of all, how do we start a celebration first thing in the morning?
Prayer.
Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And takbir, glorifying and talking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, of course, we smile at each other and we meet each other and we hug each other. Love, kindness, brotherhood, one ummah. And yes, we eat. Yes, we share our best foods. Yes, we exchange gifts. Yes, we visit each other. That's the way to celebrate it. What are we celebrating? And again, we should look at what goes on before we just start following what people are doing, just because it is tradition. So, we have another holiday coming up, which is called New Year. Who's New Year? It is not your New Year. Your New Year is the first of Muharram, if that was the rule. You should be celebrating and setting off fireworks on the first of Muharram. If you're Jewish, Rosh Hashanah, which went by, is the New Year. Chinese New Year is a different time. At least the Hindus at least maintain their celebration of New Year, whatever, Diwali. So what New Year, even if it's a New Year, who should celebrate a New Year? What does it mean? If you look, break it down, means you are celebrating that one more year of your life has gone. You are celebrating that you are 1 year closer to your death. Now, who has the right to celebrate that? Only the one who looks back at that 1 year and says, Alhamdulillah, One year of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on my scale. If we truly did that, a whole year of complete obedience, well, you had some right to celebrate that. And you don't have to wait there a whole year to celebrate that. You should celebrate that every day. Today, I obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from when I woke up till when I went to sleep. And you celebrate it with Alhamdulillah by 2 rak'ah of extra and more, and the sajda of shukr, and feeding people, taking your best meals, and meeting people, and loving and hugging people every day. Celebrate and act a day of obedience. That's fine. But we should see what they are doing. And how is it celebrated? At least in the West, I don't know about here, but here must be the same because we follow exactly what they do. There are two things. It all breaks down into two things. It's called one word. It's called partying. And most often what is done is to get drunk. Well, if you get drunk and intoxicated, are you really happy? Because now you don't know what's going on or what happened? Or are you getting drunk to drown in the sorrow of the year that went by? And then they do other things, which includes sexual promiscuity. Because alcohol, as we are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the ummul khaba'ith, the mother of all evils. So what I'm trying to say is, it's a tradition. So, oh, New Year, I have to go and celebrate New Year. Why do you have to celebrate New Year? Truly, should you celebrate New Year? Look at your life. In fact, a person should feel that I have lost one more year. I have less time. I don't have time to go to the party because I got to make up for everything I missed in the whole year. So let me do acts of obedience. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is that everything that you see around, we do not have to do the same. In English it is called aping. You know what monkeys are famous for? What you do? They'll copy that. We are not monkeys. We are Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took pains to make us do things differently, even simple things. He said, grow your beard and trim your mustache. Why? So you look different than the Jews. They are fasting on the 10th for Ashura. Next year, if Allah gives me life, I will fast the 9th. Just so that you have a distinct identity. Okay. And this is not just about New Year, it's about everything else. That a Muslim should have a distinct identity, that people identify him as a Muslim. That's why we look a certain way, we dress a certain way. Now when you look that different, then it should make you more conscious of your actions, that I should not do something that will give a bad name to Muslims, to Islam. That look, that looks like he's a Muslim, but look what he's doing. The other day I was talking to a young man from here who came into Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him a couple of years ago. So I asked him, I said, what brought you into Islam? Just to see the process, of course. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives the hidayah. He said, I had a lot of Muslim friends. So, you know, that's normally what happens. But then he added, but they were doing everything that everyone else was doing. So I came down again. So, oh, means it wasn't their association. Means they were following what we were doing. So that is not an incentive for me to change. I mean, you are no different than me. Why should I be like you? Then he said that one day we were passing by a masjid, and we were passing by, in other words, my friends had no intention of going in this masjid. I said, what's inside here? Do you have a grave or something that you go around? He said, no. Oh, there's nothing. He said, can I go inside? He said, come. So he took him inside. And he showed him and said, you know, and he said, you know, because we worship a God who's alone and who doesn't have, that's all he said. That, just that ultimate truth of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who doesn't even practice, who's not practicing apparently Islam, tells him that. Had no intention to start with, just brought him inside because he wanted to see curiously what was inside, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayah. In the old days, how did hidayah spread? Because people saw Muslims and say they're different, and then saw their akhlaq, their conduct, and it was so beautiful that they accepted Islam. And this is how it's been known. The history of the most populous Muslim nation, Indonesia, that's how Islam came there, through Muslim traders who were conducting their business in a way that was so beautiful that people were impacted. And they're honest people. They're caring people. One of the narrations of many things that have, it wasn't just one, that a person came to a store that was selling a certain produce, and he was buying something, he was ready to purchase something from that store, and then the storekeeper says, "Can I request that you buy the same thing from across the street from that trader? Because he also has the same thing." Now, which businessman would tell you, "Why don't you go there to my competition and buy it?" So he figured, then he went there and he purchased. Then he came back to this man, he said, "They have the same thing, same prices. Why did you ask me to go there?" He said, "Because all morning I have been watching that I've had a few customers, I have made a few sales, but my neighbor, nobody has gone into his store. So I said, go there because he also needs to make his living." Simple things. Thinking about others. What a powerful impact it would have on you. Okay? This is how Islam spreads. So we have to look like Muslims, and after that, now we have a greater responsibility to act like Muslims. If one of our sisters is wearing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her strength, inshallah, to wear hijab and dress properly and show the haya of Islam and look like a sahabiya, then she also has to act, because now she is distinguished as a Muslim. Okay? She can't do what everybody else is doing. The language that everybody else is, they're fighting with each other. She can't do the same thing. Okay? Because you don't want to give a bad name to Islam. You don't want it to be, I don't want to be a means of embarrassment for my Habib Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. That this was my ummati, this is what he did when I was gone. So my dear brothers, it's essential that we first realize who we are. And who are we? We are called together as the Khair Ummah, the best nation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes why you are the best. What is the ayah? Does anybody remember? Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are there for people, for all mankind, linnas. And your characteristics, that you enjoin good, you call people towards good, and you stop evil, and you try your best. And to do that, you also, the first way is you yourself act in that way. That's what gives you the distinct rank. And then when you realize that, and you have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps this whole system going because of believers. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the qiyamah will not be established as long as there is one person still saying Allah. Tawheed, one person. The day there is no one left, the system will be broken. The system will crash like a computer's crash, because the critical things are gone. If the whole system was created for the recognition of the Creator, if there is not one person left, Who knows that there is Allah? Why should the system continue? So we are very special people. We have to act as special people. We have to be distinct in what we do. And we should not be compelled because everybody is doing something to do that. Okay? We have to be thinking people. And it doesn't mean that Muslims are serious, they never smile, they never enjoy, they never celebrate. Of course we do that. And like I said, we should celebrate every day. But celebrate what is worth celebrating. The obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do an act of goodness, you help somebody across the street, a blind man, you should celebrate that. When you get to the other end and you dodge all the auto rickshaws and bicycles and you get safely there, you celebrate by saying, Alhamdulillah. So, everything about a Muslim is special. Every moment about a Muslim is special. Every Muslim is a special person. And we should treat them as special. And then every human being we should also treat kindly. That nobody should be harmed by what we do. The Prophet ﷺ, when he described the neighbors, writes, he didn't say your Muslim neighbor. He said your neighbor. And we have stories of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and many other companions always taking care and be conscious of their non-Muslim neighbors. Okay? Why? Because then their feelings towards you will change. When the next riot comes around, they're not going to be coming to your door with a gun to kill you, but to protect you from those who come against you. Because they love you for who you are, your akhlaq. So, from everything there is a lesson we have to look. And everything that you see around, if it is something good, in general Islam will approve it. And you may do that from local traditions. But if it is something that makes no sense, or which is harmful, in the United States on the Christmas Eve and this holiday season, there are more police and state troopers on the street, randomly stopping people to check if they are drunk, to check if they are doing drugs, to check if... That means safety goes out of the door because there is celebration. That's not what it should be. That if there is celebration, people are harmed. That's not what it should be. Because we are people who benefit others. Because our role model came as Rahmatan lil alameen. As a mercy, as a benefit, as goodness to all the worlds, to the creatures, to the earth, to the plants. Simple things. When we're eating potato chips and you have a bag which is not biodegradable. So what is our general habit here? You eat and you throw it. Did you ever think, would you do that here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Take your garbage, just throw it here? No. But who does the earth belong to? Whose property are you littering? Allah. Think of it that way. Oh, everybody else does it. It's all full of dirt. Well, everybody has to answer for themselves. I have to answer for me. I'm going to put it where it should be put, where the garbage is. So I do not dirty the beautiful earth that Allah has created. It is His. It's not just the masajids. So everything that we do, every action is being recorded. We keep saying that. And therefore, a Muslim should be always conscious of everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are conscious of Him and His knowledge, His sight over us, His hearing of us, of what we are saying and what we are entertaining within our hearts, what the voices in our hearts, and what we do, and how we treat people, and how we feel about people, the feelings and the actions, and how we look at people, and to make sure that we harm no one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true Muslims, true examples and followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and help us to celebrate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to celebrate. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.